Once again, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History with Livonia Mallory. I am honored that we have a very special guest on the line. Today, we will be talking about the Ku Klux Klan Act and Trumpism. My special guest is Professor Anthony Paul Farley. Professor Farley has a BA from the University of Virginia and a JD from Harvard Law School. He is the James Campbell Matthews Distinguished Professor of Jurisprudence at Albany Law School. He was the James and Mary Lassiter Distinguished Visiting Professor at the University of Kentucky College of Law, and the Andrew Jefferson Endowed Chair in Trial Advocacy at Texas Southern University's Thurgood Marshall School of Law in 2014 and 2015. Professor Farley, he was the Assistant U.S. Attorney in the Office of U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia prior to serving as a federal prosecutor. Professor Farley practiced law as Corporate Securities Associate with Sherman and Sterling in New York City. Professor Farley is well published, and his work has appeared in chapter form with various publishers from the Cambridge University Press, Caroline Academic Press, Duke University Press, Temple University Press, to name just a few. He's appeared in a short film, Slavery in Effect. Professor Farley was nominated and elected for membership in the American Law Institute in 2017. He served a three-year term as executive committee of the minority section of the Association for American Law Schools. He's a member of the Society for American Law. He's a member of the board of directors of the Center for Public Representation. Professor Farley, are you there?
I am here.
So I was so excited when I heard the news, I'm sure like most Americans, that the NAACP has filed a lawsuit against ex-President Trump and Giuliani based on a Civil War or Reconstruction law known as the KKK Act. And I thought, I need to get an expert, someone that knows the legal lay of the land, some constitutional history that can give my listeners a more informed understanding about the KKK Act. What is it? Why do we have such a law on the books?
Well, first, I want to say it's great to join you. I'm really happy to be on Reclaiming History. And this is a great topic to be able to talk about today. The January 6th insurrection was something new for most of us, but it wasn't really new. And we've dealt with threats to American democracy before, right? And I think exhuming or examining, doing both really, those threats is something central to your program. We know the history of this country, right? You know, slavery was here even before 1619, our first documented moment of slavery in territory that would later become the United States of America. But we had slavery from then until 1865 with the defeat of the Confederate South by the Grand Army of the Republic, by the Union. Now, that's the true Emancipation Day, not the 1863 Emancipation Proclamation. Okay. So things didn't go well after emancipation. There was a brief moment called Reconstruction where the freed men and women, the former slaves of the Confederate South, brought democracy to America for the first time. They invented the idea of public schooling in the South. Right? Some of your listeners will know, but some won't, that it was illegal to teach a slave how to read, and slaves caught knowing how to read and write were typically had their a finger or two cut off by their masters. all of which was perfectly legal during the days of slavery. So the freedmen and freedwomen were very interested in democracy and ran for office, were elected to office, and set about to modernize the South. They were met with resistance, violent resistance, throughout the former Confederacy. Whites spontaneously organized themselves into terrorism groups to make sure that the Union officials, that the government officials couldn't do their proper job when doing their jobs properly required aiding the development of democracy in the South. Black office holders were brutalized, black voters were brutalized and murdered by white terror groups throughout the South. The KKK Act of 1871 was meant to deal with that kind of lawlessness, mm-hmm. to protect the mechanisms of democracy against organized terrorism by white supremacists bent on making America great again.
Ooh. Yeah. Those words are chilling to me, Professor, when you say that. it's chilling.
Those words should be chilling because Donald Trump and the GOP were as clear as Kristallnacht in their announcement of their plans and methods when they pushed for office in 2016 and in 2020. Most of us, many of us, I saw this coming. I saw January 6th, 2021 coming. They made it clear that they weren't going to leave office just because they didn't get sufficient number of electoral votes. So the KKK Act of 1871 is exciting. It's not just a relic of history. It's a way of trying to save democracy. We know what happened with the Redeemers. That's what the MAGA people of the 1860s and 1870s called themselves. They were redeeming the South, making it great again by driving black office holders from office. Unfortunately, they succeeded. When the Union Army ceased its military occupation of the South in 1877, as a result of a compromise over the contested election of 1876, the white terror groups drove all black office holders throughout the South from office and prevented blacks from voting again in more than token numbers for nearly a century. It wasn't until 1965 that blacks, with the Voting Rights Act, that black people returned to the polls and democracy had a chance in the American South.
Well, you know, Professor, there was one thing as I was doing some of my own research on the Ku Klux Klan Act. President Grant, he requested this legislation, and they were focused on the increase in violence that was occurring specifically in the state of South Carolina. South Carolina was the first black governed state. They had more representatives, towns, what we now call Hilton Head. That was the location of one of the first black governed black towns. Harriet Tubman visited the town as well. And so black folks had real power in South Carolina, and the Klan's focused energy was on making sure that those black folks went back to the plantation and to strip them of the right to govern that state with the sheer will of numbers and power. And because of that, because of the increased violence in South Carolina, President Grant requested the legislation. And again, because I'm always making connections and drawing the dots, the attack on the AME church by Roof, the killer that sat in a Bible study and then after the Bible study killed African-American worshipers in that mother church, AME mother church, was thought out, planned, and executed to create fear in the minds of black people. History is repeating its ugly self again with this new MAGA mob that had stormed our capital.
That's absolutely right. And they are aware of that history. That's why we saw them carrying Confederate flags. The KKK violence in South Carolina after the Civil War was intense, unrelenting, and it unfortunately, in the end, succeeded in driving democracy away from South Carolina and from the rest of the South. One of the investigators, Army Major Lewis Merrill, who was sent by President Grant to investigate, described the counties in South Carolina as, quote, under the domination of systematic and organized depravity. Mm. The situation was a carnival of crime not paralleled in the history of any civilized community. That led President Grant to sign the Ku Klux Klan Act, making it a federal crime to deprive any American citizen of their civil rights through racial terrorism. Grant warned the nine rebel South Carolina counties, the rebellion after the failed rebellion, right, the Klan mm-hmm. rebellion, that martial law would be declared if the Klan didn't disperse. The warning was, of course, ignored. Grant declared martial law. And federal forces were then allowed to arrest and imprison KKK members and instigators of racial terrorism without having to bring them before a judge or into a court, because there was no point going to a judge or a court in South Carolina because the judges and courts were all run by the white supremacist forces.
Oh my goodness, we are out of time. To my listeners, tune in again for a continuation of my discussion with Professor Anthony Paul Farley from Albany Law School, when we will continue talking about the Ku Klux Klan Act and the lawsuit against President Trump.